self-flattering inner dialogue is generally ego chatter, which can make you lose your way. Inner dialogue about your purpose in life will keep you on the path. Be silent. When you are unsure about whether to tell the truth or distort because you feel that the truth will be more painful than it is worth, then do and say nothing. You are not obliged to anyone to reveal every detail of your life. You have the right to remain silent and learn your lesson in that silence. Develop a personal truth that is unassailable from outside forces. Simply declare your own agreement to practice truth and to be independent of the good opinion of others. Resist the need to boast and to talk about yourself. Strive to be interested rather than interesting. This is the way of the higher self. Become the listener, the one who is interested in the accomplishments and activities of others, and you will not need to boast and to distort your personal storyline. If you find yourself exaggerating, stop. Just stop and verbally correct yourself. You don't need to explain that you are breaking your habit of exaggeration. Just correct the statement. Write your own personal honor code. In your words, describe your intention to make truth the way of your thoughts and actions by suspending your need to deceive yourself and others. Then internalize your code of honor by reading or reciting it to yourself on some regular basis. You will eventually radiate your inner spirituality and you will have discovered a blissful way of being in this physical plane. Know that being credited is unimportant. Remind yourself that when you're fulfilling your life's mission, credit and accolades are unimportant. The irony here is that the more you seek approval, the less you receive. No one really approves of an approval seeker. Letting go of the need for approval leaves you open to embrace the truth. The Sufi poet Rumi's words sum up this subject of truth versus deception. When you eventually see through the veils to how things really are, you will keep saying again and again, "This is certainly not like we thought it was." It will be more than you ever might have imagined when your ego was leading you away from the way of your sacred self. You may believe that the opposite of love is hate. I do not see these two emotions as opposites. In fact, love and hate are often closely aligned. To me, the opposite of love is fear. When you have fear, you do not have love. Ego uses fear as a way to keep authentic love out of your life. When love is not present in your life, you have succumbed to ego and allowed fear in where love could be. You have allowed ego to replace God. Learning to experience authentic love means abandoning ego's insistence that you have much to fear and that you are in an unfriendly world. This begins with an assessment of your reluctance to embrace love. If you are not experiencing love in your life right now, it is because you are, in some way, afraid. You need to examine your fears with honesty and with love. When you do, you will transform your fears into love. You will open up a space within you that can only be occupied by love. In this space, you are on purpose, walking the way of the sacred self. But first, you must see how you substitute fear for love. Your ego steadfastly promotes fear because it fears authentic love itself. This false self helps you convince yourself that you are in some way incomplete. That is the source of all fear. Afraid of having your emptiness, your incompleteness exposed, you expend a lot of energy creating a false image of happiness. The fear about exposing the emptiness keeps you seeking relationships that ego tells you will satisfy the longing within you. What happens is that you enter a relationship starved for the love that is your higher self. Your inner hunger is masked, pretending to be something else. No wonder so many people repeatedly think they have found love and repeatedly declare they've lost it. How different it is when you can notice the inner emptiness and think, "What's not to like? This longing is part of being human and knowing love." Then you will let ego know that fear is not your choice. Love is your choice. Just imagine how our system might be if people knew they were already complete. What would you need to purchase? What would you need to have to own? Who would you have to impress? Who would you need to have on your arm? The answers give you an idea of how much we rely on the fear that we are incomplete and unacceptable as we are, and how unaware we are of our divine connection. The fear that is a substitute for love is simply a fear of being unacceptable. Virtually all fears can be traced directly back to self-esteem. If you love yourself, you will be able to transform your fears with love rather than allow them to direct your life. If you have an inner feeling of being complete and whole, knowing the loving presence that is there, then fear becomes a loving invitation to know more or to change something in your life. Fear will no longer threaten you as it did when you are unacquainted with your higher self. The inability to rely on the love that is our very essence shows up in many forms. Your ego wants you to believe that you are unacceptable and will gleefully assist you in creating an image to prove that it is so. Manifestations like obesity and personal slovenliness and eating disorders often are the fear-based projection of yourself. Ego can influence you to shun all efforts to be loved by others by refusing to allow the risk of an intimate encounter or the development of an intimate relationship. Ego often makes you selfishly pursue your own goals at others' expenses. You engage in perpetual conversation about yourself. We often use economic, social, and other types of excuses to defend behavior that does not extend love. For instance, you might excuse unloving or inconsiderate behavior because it's only my job or because everyone else does it. Expressions of disgust or rudeness towards others are based on ego. They are heard in stores, on freeways, in offices, at airports, in restaurants, any place you are in your daily life. These are some of the common expressions of a fear-based ego struggling to keep you away from the experience of love that is your true essence. Before you begin to change these behaviors and thought patterns, you need to examine the payoffs. What is some part of you receiving as a payoff for listening intently to ego? Your ego works for its living. Its payoff is not money, but just in keeping alive. Your ego is not open to making contact with God because it would be immediately put out of business. Your ego is in direct conflict with your true purpose for being there. You are here to give and receive love. Your ego protects you from that vision by keeping you in a belief system that declares you are separate and special. By hanging on to the fears of your insufficiency, you can avoid taking any risks. As long as you have self-doubt and all of its attendant fears, you are guaranteed to stay in servitude to your false self. Your ego thrives on guilt. Your higher self knows that you should forgive yourself, learn from mistakes, and release feelings of fear and anxiety. But ego hands you guilt so that it will thrive. Guilt is the inner fear that you should pay a price for any and all mistakes you have committed in your life. Thus, the ego convinces you that you must feel guilty, and it keeps you removed from your true spirit. Your ego doesn't reject love. The polite background ego voice whispers that love is a high ideal, but one that is loaded with danger. It warns you to not give too much love because you may be taken advantage of. Because you are so special, it tells you others want to take advantage of you. Ego promotes inauthentic love. In your relationships with others, your ego convinces you that your partner is just what you need to fill the emptiness within you. This is a great ruse that will forever keep you from knowing love and peace. Make a copy of this passage from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Tape it to your mirror and read it every morning. It will help stimulate the inner opening to the love you seek and dissolve fears if you are willing to do what the poet suggests. He says, I exist as I am. That is enough. If no other in the world be aware, I sit content. And if each and all be aware, I sit content. One world is aware, and by far the largest to me, and that is myself. And whether I come to my own today or in 10,000 or 10 million years, I can cheerfully take it now, or with equal cheerfulness, I can wait. Remind yourself that God created you in perfect love that is changeless and eternal. As you recognize and affirm this aloud each day, you will lose your fear of inadequacy and incompleteness. Constantly recalling the affirmation of being a creation of God beyond the world of the manifest will chase the fears away. Forgive yourself and welcome love back into your life. When you can do this, a kind of balancing occurs. Rather than atoning for sins with guilt, you are more committed to promoting joy and service. You will begin to do what you originally came here to do. Notice the acts of kindness other people do rather than their wrongdoings. We are all good, decent, loving souls who occasionally get lost. When you can focus on the good in another and hold that in your mind, you are acting from your higher self. This can help dissipate fear and anger. Remind yourself how much you have to give away and of how precious and valuable your giving is. You have the same force running through you that allows the planets to move, the earth to orbit, the seeds to sprout, and the flowers to open. There is not a separate God for each person. There is one universal intelligence flowing through all of us. This is the force of love. Remind yourself of that every time you doubt your own divinity. Affirm to yourself that you are divine and that you love and are loved and will not be pressured by your false thinking ego to not know this. Remind yourself that the same force flows through you that flowed through Jesus Christ and Buddha. This should help whenever you feel your ego sneaking in, attempting to put fears of inadequacy and doubt into your mind. Accept that you are enough. I am enough affirms that you choose love and chase away doubts and fears. With the higher self as your new guide, you have permission to arrive and relax. You no longer have to prove yourself, but can begin in joyful earnestness to travel the path of love. Take the risk of intimacy whenever possible. Snuggle up and risk saying how much you love and appreciate someone. Tell that person that you're willing to be vulnerable in order to know him or her better. These open-hearted ways of expressing yourself can defeat fear of intimacy. Use any excuse you can to express your love, and try to ignore the vehicle of expression. It is the substance of what you are and feel that counts, not the vehicle that you use. If those fears ever start to return, stop and ask yourself, so what's not to like? You cannot have a better past, so abandon the idea right now. You did what you knew how to do, given the circumstances of your life. Those mistakes of the past were driven by your ego, which wanted to keep you in its grasp. You listened to your false self and recoiled in fear over the idea of anyone knowing your true self. You moved away from love, but now you are back and making the choice for love. You know deep within you that at your primal level, you have been designed for love and happiness. You can choose to return to the brilliant light of love that is always with you. Go there often, and all of your fears will be replaced by love. Let your thoughts remain on love. This is the realization of your higher self. It is the realization of your sacred quest. You can make the decision to be free from fear and doubt. There is no greater freedom. It can be difficult to finally just lighten up and understand that life is what happens while you're making other plans. This is it. Each and every instant of your life takes place in the present moment. Using your present moments to chase after future moments is an ego-based activity. When you are finally able to say that you have arrived, you will know what it feels like to be free. Your higher self does not want you to be lazy or without purpose, but to realize the power in knowing that you have arrived. When you know that this moment is your entire life, you are not focused on past or future moments, and you release the stress and tension that accompany the striving lifestyle. With that release, you become more productive and peaceful than you were when you looked behind or ahead of yourself, and do not allow your mind to rest in the still center of the present moment. Being fully in the now means that you will experience heaven on earth because you are completely absorbed in the soul of the holy instant. To experience the bliss of knowing that you are here now in this moment, and that is all there needs to be, all there ever was, and all you will ever know, you must learn to trust your higher self and let go of those ingrained teachings from all the egos that have influenced your life up until now. You will begin to realize that you are not on trial in the now here. You will soon realize that your mission is to serve and extend the love that is your basic essence, period. You don't have to do more, even though you may choose to do a great deal. Your overriding objective is to stay focused on sending and receiving agape, the love of God. If you incorporate the following ideas into the practice of your daily mission, you will succeed in your objective. Nothingness. Nothingness has a very positive value in your life. It is out of nothing that all is created. Space is considered to be nothing, no particles, no form, so we describe it as nothing. To fear this empty space or to deny its value as a part of us means doubting our own existence. We came from nothingness, the nowhere I've described throughout this tape, to this world of form, the now here. Surrender. To understand the concept of surrendering, you will not be able to rely on your ego. Ego never wants you to even consider surrendering. It would much rather you hang on to the belief that you must strive and cling to the familiar way. The notion of being attached to what happened to you in the past can be very deeply ingrained in you by your false self. You must learn to recognize ego's attachment to the past when it uses this to keep you stuck in striving. Surrender the belief that your past is what is driving your present. Surrendering also means learning to recognize the signals from your higher self that something within you needs to be witnessed. This means surrendering to whatever is in the present moments of your life. For many people, it can be confusing to discern whether it is ego or spirit that is at the helm. I find that using the image of a boat moving along the surface of a lake is helpful in making the distinction between ego and higher self. I visualize the wake of the boat as a symbol of the past. The wake is not driving the boat, it is merely the trail that is being left behind by the present moment movements of my boat image. What drives the boat is the energy generated in the now. I do not credit or blame the pass for the boat's present state of arriving in this spot on the lake. That pass cannot drive you in this now, and that pass needn't be held responsible for the boat's problems. Practice surrendering by creating a new agreement with now. Agree to know that your past is a trail of present moments that are all left behind, and at the same time, know that if you are having difficulty in this present moment, you will surrender to that reality. Surrendering invites your loving presence to be available in every now moment. What a pleasure each moment can then be, even the last moment. Acceptance. Once when I was asked to define enlightenment, the best I could come up with was the quiet acceptance of what is. I believe that truly enlightened beings are those who refuse to allow themselves to be distressed over things that simply are the way they are. To arrive rather than to strive means applying the wisdom of Reinhold Niebuhr's so-called serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Knowing the difference can be the most difficult part. There is an ancient Zen teaching that says if you understand, things are just as they are. If you do not understand, things are just as they are. This is the essence of acceptance and the way of arriving rather than striving. Bewilderment. Your physical being is an enormous miracle. Its thousands of working parts function with a divine organizing intelligence. Consider your blood circulation, air inhalation, and oxygenation, your eyes, muscles, and bones, all responding to a brain and nervous system that is beyond comprehension. There are miles of arteries and veins, intestines with infinitely tiny microbes, all working in unison with that divine intelligence that creates the body you occupy. To be in a state of bewilderment, stop and behold the wonder of you. Allow yourself to enjoy the bewilderment and awe of who and what you are. There is the miraculous machine that houses you, and there is the incomprehensible mystery of the ghost in the machine that is your mind and soul observing all. Patience. Our loving presence offers us the infinite patience that originates with God. It has taken me over 50 years to know many of the concepts I have talked about on this tape. God has been patient. I have done things in my life that today make me shudder in contempt, yet God somehow stuck it out with me, patiently seeing the potential for something grander. I have stolen and shoplifted in my earlier days, lied all too frequently, been promiscuous and unfaithful, used substances, and through all this and much, much more, God showed me her infinite patience. The stories of the lives of St. Paul and St. Francis of Assisi describe the same kind of patience. This infinite patience is available to you at all moments. Regardless of where you have been, how you have lived, or how much you have relied upon your false self, God's infinite patience is ever present. One of the great teachers in my life was Paramahansa Yogananda, a man who came out of India to teach the ways of the higher self to the people of the West. I've read many of his speeches and have found great comfort in his writings as well as reading about his life. I offer you one of my favorite sayings to ponder as you move toward an awareness of arriving rather than striving. Seek spiritual riches within, he reminds us. What you are is much greater than anyone or anything else you have ever yearned for. That is the voice of your higher self reminding you to quietly accept yourself and turn off the yearning. You are never going to get it all. You are it all already. Your higher self wants you to be at peace. Your ego wants to keep you in a state of turmoil in order to maintain its mastery and control over your life. You've probably listened to your ego most of your life. The result of listening to ego is that most of us allow ego to talk us into choosing dominance rather than tolerance as our style of interacting with life. Making the change from dominance to tolerance requires disciplining ego and listening to your sacred self. I'm speaking from personal experience in this matter, and it is one of the toughest assignments my higher self has presented me with. I have spent many years being dominated by my ego, and I have unwittingly made dominance and judgment rather than tolerance a cornerstone of my relating. My suggestions are all from my personal experience of transcending my ego-driven instincts. Making the transition from dominance to tolerance is especially difficult because the desire for ego satisfaction is so strong. To move toward the tolerance that your higher self encourages and away from your ego-driven need to control and judge, you will want to examine the qualities that sustain a tolerant approach to life. to become more tolerant and less controlled by your false self, start practicing being satisfied with what is. If someone you love acts meekly towards you, your ego wants that person to be more assertive. If that person is assertive, your ego then decides to dislike assertiveness. If you eat too much, you start thinking about how nice it would be to be thinner. If you go on a diet, and all of your thoughts then will be about food. If you stay at home for a long period, your ego starts telling you how nice it is to travel. Go on the road, and you start thinking about how nice it would be to stay home. You're in a relationship and begin to imagine it would be nicer to be uninvolved. You're not in a relationship, and you start wanting to be in one. Your children are running around the house, and you start thinking about escaping. You aren't at home, and your ego starts having you think about nothing but your children. If you identify with this kind of inner dialogue, rest assured that ego has temporarily separated you from your sacred self. In its ongoing program to convince you of your separateness, it needs to separate you from oneness with the center of your being. Then it can keep you in that state of trying to dominate and control others as a way of trying to achieve your inner balance and bliss. Trouble is, you cannot get there if you are separated from the awareness of your higher self. As you begin listening to your higher self in quiet and contemplative moments, you begin relaxing and taking the pressure off. You stop the false thinking that everyone in your life needs to be dominated or controlled by you, or that others must live up to your expectations for you to be happy. People are the way they are, and your need to dominate or change them in any way is the edict of your false self. Your ego is, as usual, trying to convince you of your separateness. It also doesn't want you to catch on to how it is controlling your life, so it convinces you that if you don't dominate others, they will get the best of you. Your higher self has absolutely no need to dominate anyone or anything. This is the ticket to freedom. Right now, though, in this very moment, your ego is working to convince you that the higher self and tolerance are ridiculous ideas. Ego will argue that tolerance means permitting criminal behavior and health and social problems. Its favorite example is that it would mean permitting the Hitlers of the world to commit atrocities while we tolerantly look on. Your higher self can see beyond this logic, so of course you can too, if you are willing. When Mother Teresa was asked if she would march against the war in Vietnam, she replied, "No, but if you have a march for peace, I'll be there." When you become peaceful within, that is what you will have to give away. When you are dominated by your ego, you dominate others. If there is no inner harmony, there is no outer harmony. Ego needs the illusion of enemies in order to control you. When you are controlling others, it is because you have permitted ego to be in control. The paradox here is that you will affect the world in the ways that you wish when you cease trying to improve conditions with intolerance and judgment. It is only when you are not controlled by ego that you can choose to not control others. What you believed was power when you dominated others was actually the external activity of ego controlling you. Your impact on the world at large begins with the smaller world of yourself. You will foster freedom and peace when you are free of ego's control and know the peace of your higher self traveling the path of the sacred quest. One of the first steps along your path is learning tolerance by practicing seeing the world as it is, rather than as you demand it to be. These, then, are some of the ways that the ego attempts to rule our lives. Our goal in knowing our sacred self is to have the higher identities triumph over our lower identities. Essentially, your higher self wants you to be at peace. It wants you to know truth. It no longer needs you to dominate others. It is a very peaceful, loving place to be. At this point, I would like to have you stop looking at how you can get your own sacred self in order, and begin to look at how the world can do this as well. When we have a world of people who are radiating outward the kinds of things I've been talking about throughout this tape, you'll begin to see a whole new world order, one that is not dominated by a world ego. And so my conclusion here will not be an odyssey into all the evils of our society. I do not intend to end this tape cataloging all the problems that we have created as a result of allowing our egos to be the dominant force in our world. This is not to say that I fail to recognize that we have plenty of problems that have grown out of our preoccupation with satisfying our egos. Nor am I blind to the fact that our individual egos have interacted in ways that have produced war, crime, addictions, poverty, social inequities, and government tyrannies. We have created a world ego that reflects on the global level the same lack of depth and richness that exists in our individual lives. Throughout this tape, I have presented reasons for taming the personal ego and suggestions for how to do that. The very same can be said for doing this on a global level. I hope it is as obvious to you as it is to me that the collective ego will benefit when we transcend our individual egos. You, as a single individual, have a sacred quest. That quest involves coming to your higher spiritual nature and inviting it to show you the way of the sacred self in your daily life. This means denying the demands of your ego if those demands contradict the guidance of your higher self. Our world is a collection of individuals urged on by the loving presence within all of us to achieve the sacred quest personally and collectively. The world will become a peaceful, fulfilled, cooperative, loving, truthful, tolerant, and pure environment as the individual parts that make up the collective consciousness restrain their egos. As is the microcosm, so is the macrocosm. The whole behaves precisely as does its individual parts. Many people I speak to tell me that they feel powerless to affect the global community. They believe that, given the scope of the world's problems, their efforts are so infinitesimal as to be insignificant. They simply are not seeing that it is precisely through a change in individual consciousness that the world will be transformed. All of the problems that we face as a group reflect those we have individually. The world is encountering a spiritual deficit that reflects our need to consciously get on the path of our sacred quest. The solution to individual and global problems is to overcome the spiritual deficit. When you make the shift in consciousness, allowing yourself to be an agent of heightened awareness, you are contributing to the transformation of our world. You are not separate from the other souls on this planet. You share the identical energy that embodies the souls of Rwanda and Pakistan, for example. You are the lamp, and God is the electricity. It flows through you as surely as it flows through all living things. When you make the decision to choose the guidance of your higher self over your false self, you have plugged into the divine inner energy. When you run your life based on the principles of the higher self, you are contributing to the transformation of the entire world. You must strengthen your will to choose the sacred path when your ego calls you a fool for believing there could ever be a world without war. If your ego can convince you, you will become part of the collective ego's falseness. Individuals who choose ego propaganda are individuals who will build more bombs and manufacture more weapons. Currently, there are some 6 billion people on the planet. About 3 million are at war or in skirmishes that cause them to kill and torture each other. But that means that there are 5,997,000,000 who are not at war. This is a hopeful statistic, which our egos do not want us to consider. By contrast, the collective ego strives to keep the populace nervously on the edge with reminders to view the world in terms of us versus them. This ego viewpoint not only reinforces the insane escalation of ways to kill each other, but is also responsible for most of our social problems. The world ego is our false self, and this is the primary characteristic that we need to recognize. We want to believe that we are our physical bodies and that the territories we occupy are so important that we are willing to kill each other in order to maintain those boundary lines. We have become convinced that our true identities are located in tribal ancestries, traditions, histories, genealogies, and the color and shape of our bodies. We have lost sight of our authentic identities because of the labels that our egos have assigned to us. Our egos have coalesced into a worldwide false perception of ourselves based on an unwillingness to know our true spiritual nature. Although all of our spiritual leaders have reminded us of our divinity and implored and even commanded us to love one another, the world ego has won this battle and produced ancient enmities and uncountable horrors in the long history of humanity. The spiritual solution to the major problems that face the world is to bring into positions of power those who are not motivated and driven by their egos, but see the collective good as their primary objective. We need leaders who do not manifest primitive tendencies of consciousness such as hate, envy, greed, bloodthirstiness, and intolerance, but are grounded in love, tolerance, truth, and purity. As you travel the path of your sacred quest, you will help to dispel the absurdity of specialness that the ego so assiduously promotes. You will see an end to this kind of thinking in your life and on a worldwide scale as well. The higher part of ourselves that I have talked about on this tape reacts to a vision that is infinite. This is assuredly not the vision of the ego. The ego is just as cowardly on a collective scale as it is on an individual basis. The world ego is frightened of a mass appeal to overcome our spiritual deficit. When people face inward and embrace a more loving perspective, the power of the sacred self will create change not only in the community but in the entire world as well. The world ego will do all that it can to prevent this kind of inner approach. It will ridicule those who promote meditation, peaceful demonstrations, and the love of God as a way out of the morass of social evils. The collective ego convinces itself that money makes it special, and thus it will throw dollars at any problem and pride itself on the undertaking. Consume, consume, consume. More is better. The more you accumulate, the fancier your toys, the bigger your shopping malls, the more petrol that you use in your automobiles, the more successful you are. It is a push away from peace toward a style of consumerism and capitalism that is defended as the way of civilization. Yet your higher self knows there is no peace in the more is better. It is just as true on the collective level as it is on the individual plane. The higher self urges you to simplify and to avoid contributing to anything that hurts others or increases the separation from your spiritual source. As you listen more closely to your sacred self and transcend your ego, so too will the world ego be shifted away from power, control, and money, back to the basic virtues of higher awareness. Back to peace, beauty, love, purity, tolerance, patience, and compassion. This does not mean that the benefits of technology cannot be enjoyed. It means that the ego will not be the motivating force in our lives. What we truly are as a people is a force that craves peace and simplicity. We want that deeper awareness that comes with the sanity of the higher self. It is insane to continue believing that we are a collection of tribes, each with a separate identity and a special mission. It is insane to believe that anyone who does not fit into our particular tribal mentality is a potential enemy. We know that there is not a separate God for each of us, or even for each of our tribes. We know that there is a universal divine intelligence that flows through all of us, and in that sacred space within us, we are all one and the same. We know that the best within us is love, kindness, and compassion. Yet our egos, both individually and collectively, have campaigned long and hard to promote a false idea. How sane is it for people to be killing each other over disputes that ancient egos created long before we arrived? How sane is it for us to believe that some of us deserve to eat the food that God provides and that others do not deserve it by virtue of their geographic location? How sane is it for us to pump up our youth with the philosophy of the free ride by leading them to believe that if they want something, they deserve it? How sane is it to show our children pictures of violence as entertainment and allow them to adopt the ego belief that it is human nature to hurt others as a way to defend a right to be special and separate? As our higher selves begin to triumph over ego in the daily decision-making of our lives, we will truly be making progress on the path of the sacred quest for all of humanity. You must banish all doubt about your ability to facilitate such a quest and begin to know that you are both the microcosm and the macrocosm. There is a universe within you, a unified field of all possibilities that you can reach as you become the compassionate witness. Be silent. Shut down the inner dialogue. Most important, transcend the false self that we call the ego. That is when the healing will begin to occur. The world ego is destined to be restrained as more individuals look within and consult the higher part of themselves. The doubts are vanishing, and the spiritual revolution is well underway. Moving toward an egoless world is not some far-fetched idea, any more than the disintegration of the Iron Curtain was a far-fetched idea. To those who heard such talk a few years before it happened, it did indeed seem absurd. But ideas, thoughts, and inner knowings are powerful instruments for the disintegration of the false self. One of the simplest and most powerful ways of doing this is taught by Eknath Eswaran. Writing in his book Meditation, he advises us to spend 30 minutes every morning in meditation repeating the prayer of St. Francis. In saying this prayer, we both transcend the ego and invite the sacred self to guide us through the day. I invite you to join me in this daily prayer as we share the path of the sacred quest. The prayer of St. Francis goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. If you have the same knowing about your world, dramatic changes will take place as we collectively put to use the greatest force in the universe, the force of love. It seems only fitting to quote my spiritual teacher, Nisargadatta Maharaj, as I close this tape. He reminds us of the simplicity of creating a society that is based on spiritual principles. He puts it this way: my stand is clear. Produce to distribute. Feed before you eat. Give before you take. Think of others before you think of yourself. Only a selfless society based on sharing can be stable and happy. This is the only practical solution. If you do not want it, then fight. I want it. I encourage you to do the same. God bless you, and thank you for listening.